It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Howdy, hi, and welcome. I am Audio Not Eric Carlson, and this is episode 5 of Cut by Cut, a weekly show slicing up records one track at a time and exploring all the nooks and crannies. With me is my co-pilot, Audio Not Chris Buck St. Sauveur. And this week, we are discussing Nike a Go-Go. Oh, now you chime in. Really? That was an amazing dramatic pause. You didn't even chime in at your name. I was expecting like a howdy.
I'm still learning the cues and how to wear to, like, you know.
I'll point. You know what? Like Vampira, I'm just going to raise my eye.
Oh.
Eyebrow there. What was that line?
Anyway. I've already forgotten it. That was last episode.
That was a whole week ago. I mean, it's amazing. I'm surprised you were able to get here with time to spare for recording this episode.
I'm wearing the same clothes, too.
It's almost like we've never left the room.
Coincidence?
For those of you playing the home edition, you can queue up track 5 of The Misfits' Walk Among Us.
Yep.
You'll find that the song is called Nike a Go-Go. Not an incredibly popular song to cover, so our choices are limited this week to a not-so-great cover and a surf track. Because, of course, like I said before, we're trying to stay off the compilations. Because those are people like literally just writing for a purpose. These aren't kids sitting at home going, Nike a Go-Go needs
well, even
to be
told. In the they've had tribute concerts and things like that, this song is avoided. You know, so there weren't even like bad live versions of this song that were really
well. Let's jump into the song then.
Yeah,
it's not one of their greatest. It's good. I like it because it's sing alongable.
Sure.
I like it because it seems like it's easy, but it's a difficult song in terms of what does it mean.
Right. And I think it's content-wise, or you know, subject matter-wise, he's delving into, you know,
a couple different things.
Things that no other song that he has does. You know, he doesn't get political in a lot of things. He doesn't really get like anti-government or military, and this song's about potentially about some of
well, there's
some things
there's
like
what
that.
three real possibilities, right? One is that it's about the Nike rockets.
Yeah, the anti-aircraft missile defense program, yeah.
One is that it's about a missile base near Lodi, New Jersey.
Yep.
And the third, which is my personal favorite, is it's about a vibrator.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
And it's specifically for a lot of reasons. One, it goes into that what in 1980 would have been a deviancy that people didn't talk about. You know, now you can turn on HBO and, like, it's, you know, they're all, the world is lousy with vibrators.
Vibrators.
Right? I mean, there's just all kinds, it's a lot more accepted to be able to talk about the V word.
Sure.
And the fact that, you know, people derive pleasure of both types from it. Mm-hmm. So the idea that this would be a song, Nike is her name, remember it, like, this is Glenn Danzig's. You know, maybe it's his, maybe it's part of his. You know, it's coming off the heels of Vampira, so maybe, you know, track by track.
You think he placed the track strategically as well?
I think every single artist who makes an album prior to the digital age definitely put their songs, yes. I promise you those songs were pulled over. And in two songs, we're going to get to this. Because they're going to actually pull a song from the album and place something else there.
So I'm going to pull that thread a little bit here. So there was a version of this album that was supposed to come out originally on Danzig's label, Plan 9.
Plan 9, yeah.
And they scrapped it, I believe, because, if I remember all my readings properly, that labels started becoming a little bit interested in putting stuff out for him. So they, rather than do it on his own, he decided to have someone else help him with it. So on that album, it went Vampira track 4, All Hell Breaks Loose track 5, then Nike a Go-Go track 6. So he puts a little hell in between Vampire and
right,
all hell
right,
breaking.
So is that the order that it would have been, you know, released with versus, you know, once they knew that they were locked in and they re-recorded it,
yeah,
he was like, you know, it makes much more sense for this song, which is about, it, at its base level, it's the second love song. Right?
Sure.
I mean, it really is a love song about missiles, and it's that kind of like male on machine or man on machine psychosexuality of, mm-hmm. you know, everything is phallic.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
I mean,
there's a lot of that, yeah.
Freud's big, you know, comment about cigars. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Well, sometimes a Nike, you know, M1, M14 missile is just a MIM missile. But I don't know. I feel like I want to go with Vibrator on this one because I believe
it.
That it's right up there with Danzig's, you know, his I want to say deviancy, but I don't want to give the impression that Vibrator is a deviant because they're not. People have been doing them forever.
Again, at the time, the
but to sing about it,
the perceived deviancy at the time,
right?
Maybe,
and the idea that, you know, Danzig's love of classic rock and roll was always hide the innuendo as far into the song as you could.
Right,
so that it could get past, and he wasn't worried about radio play and censors, but the idea that a young Danzig would want to play or emulate, can I write a rock and roll song where I'm not talking about things outright? Can I hide it a little bit more cryptically? And I like to think so. I think so that, you know, here's this King Missile to both band name and to bring up. But I also have some random facts about Nike. One, we know that Nike, the original Nike, was the goddess of victory.
Victory.
Two,
the V word.
That she's now most famous as a shoe company, which would be great if Nike, the company, picked up this song for one of their ads. Nike is her name, remember it. Go, 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 go,
yeah.
go. Right? Like, I think that'd be
I feel
fantastic.
Like if they haven't yet, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm sure that, you know, the Misfits can't stop suing each other. Let's throw a major corporation in there asking for them to use a song. I could see Danzig being like, I'll never sell out. Jerry Only like, what does the check look like? Not that that's a bad thing, because no one's paying him not to do it.
Right.
It was an 18th century
I'm
racehorse.
I'm pretty sure he would be like, do you want me to be in your commercial?
Yeah, right? That would be amazing.
Be the Foot Locker guy that like ties on the shoe, you know?
Yes.
Did we have to cut?
I think so. Or at least, you know, somebody out there has to draw that, right? give us a drawing of Doyle selling us Nike shoes.
It would be kind of neat to like look around and see like Doyle stocking a shelf, like the high shelf, because he's the big guy.
Yeah.
Or carrying a big book.
I'm gonna come out and say it. I think Doyle is my favorite Misfit. I
hold them all.
Had you ever even thought about it?
I guess I've wrestled with whether I should have an opinion or not, especially,
yeah.
you know, in the 90s when the new Misfits started happening, you know, 96, 97 there, whenever that was.
Right, right.
You got Michael Graves and a lot of haters. I had a lot of friends that really liked it, so I didn't really have a reason not to like it. And
he certainly brought the curtain down, I think, between fans.
Yeah.
And at some point, maybe we should talk about Michael Graves. I don't know if right now is the point to do it.
Probably not, but the point being that they, so many people throwing, you know, he sucks, he's the worst, Danzig forever, and then the point is they all have these egos.
Right.
And they literally, every one of them has one.
Bigger than the other, and then it's a anubis, it could just go, not anubis, what's the thing, the snake eating its tail, just going around and around, and I like Graves. I wasn't a huge fan. I saw them live during that year, it was a Dragon Con 97 maybe.
Yeah.
And the speed and the intensity with which they played everything was very Earth AD to me, and I didn't care for Earth AD. So it was like...
Yeah, they did.
And I didn't like that direction because that's not the kind of music I enjoy typically. So I walked away going, well, that sucked. I think age and time and perspective, I like what Graves brought to it. I feel like he got a bum rap. I feel like if the Misfits had been the Misfits with Michael Graves beginning, we'd be talking about that just as reverently, I think, as we would them right now with Danzig.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's also around the time, I mean, that was when they finally got the, you know, all the initial batch of lawsuits between Jerry and Danzig kind of got resolved, and they were like, okay, fine, you can go tour and do new stuff.
And I don't want to talk about any of that stuff, because the stuff that I think that Jerry Only was writing was subpar, and whereas a lot of this seemed very natural for Glenn to write about Vampyra Plan 9 from Outer Space or whatever the case would be, it came very naturally. This was like, okay, here's the song title. Jaws Eats a Boat. You know, okay. Swimming in the water, shark in the water, Jaws Eats a Boat, Jaws Eats a Boat, blood in the water, you're my chum, Jaws Eats a Boat. And I felt like everything was just so freaking forced that it kind of took the fun out of it. But anyway,
Nike clearly was not the brains behind, the creative genius behind the operation.
Right. He may have been the heart. If they were Voltron, if they formed a giant crimson ghost robot, I think Danzig would be the head, right?
Yep.
The heart laser cannon would be Jerry. Doyle would be the arms and the legs, the muscles. And then whichever drummer they had would just be like, oh, hi. You know, like you watch Voltron and they have the kid with the glasses who's like, I'm here too. That would be the drummer.
The drummer wears the red shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's the one who his ship doesn't quite connect to the rest. 18th century racehorse, a very famous Greek airlift, the daughter of Saworzy. I mean, I know I'm mispronouncing that, but that's mythology. And it's a Polish literary prize.
Oh.
So you can win the Nike literary prize.
Okay.
The go-go, a little etymology here, is a highly energetic person, right? Whereas I'm a slow.
Slow?
Yeah.
A no-no?
I'm a slow-mo. It was French for abundance and abundance galore, or as much as you would like. So that leads into my, you know, vibrator theory. it's a bell used as an instrument, but it was also a nightclub. And the most famous one, obviously, was the Whiskey-A-Go-Go in 1964, named after the first Whiskey-A-Go-Go from Paris.
Oh.
So, again, there's this really legit legacy to it all, right? But in 1965, there was a movie that came out called Monster-A-Go-Go. And that sort of sparked this adding a go-go to things, much like if someone's trying to be clever and there's a sequel and they're like, it's called Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you're just like the person who is yelling Freebird at a show. It stopped being funny the millionth time.
Right.
So basically, Monster A-Go-Go is a space capsule crash lands on Earth and the astronaut may have turned into a murderous monster.
Or may not have.
But I got a true fact for this movie. Are you ready? This is this line. Follow me with this.
Yeah.
So what have we covered today? This is going to be apparently a really short episode. So what have we learned? We've learned that Nike is several different things.
You think Glenn likes vibrators?
I think that there is a vibrator involved.
Let's just circle back a little bit.
Sure.
As much as I love your vibrator theory.
Yes.
It would be something where, like we talked about, he singing about something that is could be deemed inappropriate or has a stigma associated with it, or is just something we don't talk about in public, right? There's almost too much coincidence that not too far from his hometown, there is an installation
the Nike missile base. Yeah, of course.
So I have to believe that Lodi being the type, you know, the New Jersey area, their suburbs, these are the types of people that might be working at such an installation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So the types of civilians working for the military, he might have been surrounded by these people. Kind of like around our area. You know that the electric boat builds the Seawolf submarines. You know, you drive down the road and someone's wearing it, even to this day, wearing a Seawolf t-shirt because they're the welders that are down at Electric Boat, you know, doing the pipe fitting
for
the submarines, you know. So I think it probably was more relevant that it was a working class reality for him down there.
Okay, I can see that.
And the Nike is the first. It was the project that successfully completed gave the United States a capability for anti-aircraft.
Take is that Danzig is... I believe Danzig is so clever that he hid sexual innuendo in Nike vibrator. Yours is that he's actually making a deep-rooted political statement.
No, no,
of,
no,
of nuclear proliferation.
Just, no, no. So if you hear him talk, it's about every. It's about things he sees. What things he sees in the world. Well, he could just easily see a vibrator on a shelf somewhere. Maybe he saw his mom's or something, and he was disturbed and needed to sing about it.
Yeah. Or when I used to make mixtapes as a kid and send them to people that I liked, there were a couple that I did put Nike Agogo on.
Huh.
Basically because, you know, like, it's one person that you're trying to impress. So, like, you make them volume seven. Yeah, it's you know. You know that they haven't listened to a single one, but you make them anyway. Oh, God, that used to kill me. But anyway, why didn't you do it? You know, but anyway, so, you know, around volume seven, it would be like, okay, well, I'm running out of cassettes. So Nike Agogo would appear on here, but I always backed it with the Damn's Jet Boy, Jet Girl.
Okay.
Because I liked the imagery of missiles and then jets and this whole kind of concept.
Sure.
But, you know, when you look at the lyrics for Jet Boy and Jet Girl, I'm going to take you around the world, Jet Boy, I'm going to make you penetrate, I'm going to make you be a girl. I mean, yeah, it's a song about homoeroticism. And we know that there is a pretty sizable chunk of that within Misfit lyrics. But again, going back to this idea that this is a machine love kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm
manual,
still going to stick with
it,
that.
What is the manual sexual overdrive or something like that?
Yeah, what are the lyrics? Nike is her name, remember it. Deader than any girl on any world. Nike be everything woman's not. Right? With a long white face. See, that part tends to be a missile unless you have a white vibrator, which I guess you would. Here's a stupid fact. You ready for this? When the in like Salem and a lot of the whaling communities on the in the Northeast Coast, when those houses were being refurbished and you know, new owners, 20th century owners were coming in, people were pulling up floorboards, you know, to redo rooms and stuff like that, and the floorboards may have warped with time.
Sure.
They would found all of these, it's not ivory, what do you get from a whale that you carve? I want to say baleen, but that's the,
no,
teeth.
That's the teeth,
it's not baleen. Now would be a great
whale
time
ivory.
To say, the Gmail for the show is cutxcutpodcast@gmail.com. If you know what ancient whalers carved, then feel free to send us a message. But in the meantime, they found that a lot of these were very similarly cylindrically shaped.
Oh.
And where they would reside typically would be in the bedrooms.
Under the floorboards, though?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because women would have these for when their men went away. And the men were away for, you know, years. So they would make these devices, these long white devices, to keep their women entertained.
Oh,
so they could carve and do scrimshaw and stuff like that. And then come back. And the women, you know, had something to remember their man by, but at the same time, they didn't want him out on display.
The men would actually carve them for the...
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking
yes.
They were, like, hiding it under the floorboards or something.
But apparently, the story goes, and I'm either making this up or it's real.
Okay.
So, again, cutxcutpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to leave us a message. I think it was one of the whaling museums in Salem or somewhere along those lines where they had put them on display. All of the, no one knew what they were. No one was thinking, you know, these things are,
nice.
are dildos. So they put them all out on display, and somebody was like, hey, when you put them all together, doesn't this look like a room full of penises? And of course, you know, someone was like, oh my God. And then they started doing all these.
Some bookish museum curator was like,
yeah, started going through all these diaries and whatnot and realizing that this is what it was. So yeah, Nike could very much have a long white face. It doesn't have to be the missile. Again, leading to my thing that Danzig has an intrinsic knowledge of maritime whaling in the 18th century America.
You know,
I don't doubt it. But all right, so
we'll never know.
We'll never know. I have two misfacts for you.
Okay.
Let's see if you can do this. I Googled, you know, facts about the Misfits.
Yeah.
And some of the complaints were, duh, these are things everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see. I got two questions for you today.
Oh,
they're multiple choice.
I have to, okay.
And we'll see if you can be the duh, everything knows thing, king. Okay? Doyle shared a final meal with Sid Vicious. So before Sid died, he shared his final meal with Doyle, who was at the time 14 years old.
Yes.
Their final meal was A, spaghetti bolognese, B, chicken parmesan, C, a protein shake, or D, half a pepperoni pizza. Doyle shared Sid Vicious's finest meal. It was A,
spaghetti bolognese,
B, chicken parmesan, C, a protein shake, or D, half a pepperoni pizza.
All right, so I'm gonna go the whole $1 million or whatever.
Yeah, walk us through it, man.
So,
I'd say call a friend, but we have a phones off policy while we record, so you're kind of screwed. Yeah, so spaghetti bolognese.
Call you.
Chicken parmesan.
So I'm gonna go with I honestly have no idea. If I did read this, it's not ringing a bell. So I feel like it's one of the Italian meals. So
all right, we're gonna cut protein shake out.
I know it's not a protein.
All right, so it's spaghetti bolognese, chicken parmesan, or half a pepperoni pizza. Now keep in mind, Sid Vicious died of a heroin overdose.
Yeah.
Right, he was a heroin addict at the time. What meal would have gone down easier for somebody addicted to heroin? Spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the A.
Spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That was right. The answer was A.
Was that in?
I don't think it's in this Music Leaves Stains. It was on some internet thing.
Interesting.
And a million people were like.
That was when they went out there and they were going to tour with.
No, he died in New York.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
He died in the Chelsea Hotel, I believe, is where he died.
I'm not a big
Sex Pistols fan.
Historian.
I was just floored at that being a fact. You know, in my mind, the Misfits were always a much later band than the Sex Pistols. And even though, I mean, so Sid had. Nancy was really trying to get Sid to produce music on his own.
Yep.
And so there was a big push. So it was like a couple years after the Sex Pistols had died. But still, in my mind, that had always been the case.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry and Doyle, so only in Doyle, formed in 1987 a Christian band called A.
Christ the Conqueror.
Oh, come on. You got to hear my... All right, well, I'm walking you through my band name, so screw you. A, Holy Moses.
Nice.
B, Blood of Christ. C, The Rockadoodles. Or D, Christ the Conqueror.
Yeah, Christ is spelled K-R-Y-S-T.
Yeah, which is bizarre to me. I don't. Is there a reason why it's spelled that way? Looks cool on a rack.
I think it was just to not be confused with like...
actual Christ the Conqueror.
I've pulled that thread a little. I've been, because I liked that. I mean, that was their response to, we can't do the Misfits anymore. We want to keep playing Jerry and Doyle and whoever the drummer was at the time. One of the things that, I mean, Jerry only talks about this repeatedly over time, even going to the lengths of telling someone that he thought Danzig needed to repent, you know, admit Christ is the Savior. And I think it was a way of kind of polar opposite, shedding the dark death. Jerry's clearly not the dark. He plays them. He shows up. He plays the music.
Yep.
You know, and if he's lucky, Danzig won't overdub his tracks when he goes and records things. So
could you imagine? You know, I hate to break this to you, but I have a host who's going to come in and replace you. What I'm doing is I'm taking all of your scripted lines, and they're just going to come in and read them. It'll be me in a fake voice. So welcome to Cut by Cut. This is Chris Buck St. Sauveur.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I love the Misfits.
It's just you doing your Kermit voice. Yeah.
Hi-ho. The Misfits are great.
Yeah. I'm sorry. By the way, Jim Henson, if you guys are looking to hire a new Kermit, I'd do it. So anyway, they were looking to form a new band. Moral of the story is, never got off the ground, right?
They always promised an album.
Yep.
I don't know if they played a show or not, but they basically died on the vine. You know, they always... promise they would.
I would love. I mean, much like thousands of other people, I think I'd be really interested.
One of the songs, I believe one of the tracks, one of the first tracks off their American Psycho album was actually a Christ the Conqueror song,
yeah.
I don't know if it was one of the intro songs, like the Donald. They may have even used some of it on Famous Monsters, too. I don't remember, but.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that more. I never really paid attention because I wasn't.
It never saw the light of day as Christ the Conqueror.
And maybe some things are left buried in the tomb. So let me do this. This is from the Lost Plan 9 version, available on the YouTubes. So let me give a little bit of that musically, and then we'll talk about the two covers.
we're totally airing a bootleg here.
Dangerous. So it just dawned on me, what would you give, how would you rate this as a Half-Life? So out of 10, we're now reducing it to 5. What's the Half-Life of Nike Agogo?
I'll give it 2. It's confusing.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit. It, you know, if you're playing the one of these things, it's not like the others. This is the song. You know, A, they did it as a go-go kind of influence. Yeah. And
this is honestly, I love Walk Among Us as an album, but this one and the next two, and spoiler alert, are not my favorites. They feel really forced, like they needed songs to fill out an album.
Yeah, well, remember, it's the first to be released, but it's like third. The third set of... So they had... I mean, this is like...
Yeah.
This is all the stuff that kind of came...
That got pushed back later, and pushed back, you know? Yeah. So this is a band called the Rhode Island State Police. I believe no relation. I don't think this is their official marching band or anything along those lines. I didn't really figure out... I don't even honestly know if they're from Rhode Island.
I'd like to know the history of the name. Just
yeah, exactly.
Why Rhode Island? Did they have some bad
experience? And please, for the love of God, I hope they're on stage dressed as cops.
Yeah.
Is that legal? If they were, well, you could probably give the appearance of, you know, like sexy cop uniforms would be amazing. I once saw a cover band called Minor Threat, M-I-N-E-R.
Nice.
And they were dressed as miners.
Yeah, overalls and hard hats. Or
yep. Okay. And I thought that was a good way to go. Yeah, this is... people at home really were able to see you doing miming the front headlight thing there. So anyway, this is Rhode Island State Police off Night of the Living Devil Lock from Pop Monster Records. Takes a little second to build up. But this was released in 2006. I feel like this, I don't know what instrument this is, but I feel like organ? Accordion? Or the, what do you call it?
Well, it feels like it's a, I don't know, what do they call that? What do they call, like, the, it's an organ, calliope? Is that like the...
Oh, okay, yeah, like yeah, yeah.
Merry-go-round kind of? Or one of those whistles with the piano on it?
That's what I was thinking, yeah. They use in a lot of like ska music and stuff. It's got a name. You people know better than I do. Write to us. At CutXCut.
This almost has a like Bloodhound Gang feel to it, you know?
King Missile, very like shimmy disc.
If it was a little faster.
I like it the more I hear it. I really... First couple times I heard this, I was like, this is god awful. It's growing on me by leaps and bounds. I'm dead serious. Every time. Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, when we our little, you know, 2-minute pre-production meeting here, you were like, you want to hear the worst song ever?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's grown on me. You want to hear over the last 32 minutes, I have actually really enjoyed this song. You know, that's one of the things we should do when we reach the end of the album, each try to find what we find to be like, out of all the covers that we've heard, which one stands apart as the worst?
The worst.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I don't want to shame any bands. Everyone's doing what they want. They all think they're really solid, good bands. Yeah. But sometimes it just doesn't work. I don't know. Maybe
depends
that's just too
deep,
hard.
It depends
to
how
mean.
Deep you want to go. I mean, again, not to, with all due respect, because I'm not out there doing this, putting my face on YouTube and playing the
right,
guitar.
Right.
But there's a guy, Chris Evil, on YouTube. And it's one of his, it's his thing apparently to just do Misfits songs.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure coffee houses are full of kids whose things are just doing Misfits songs.
It's what it feels like. It feels like it's a,
yeah.
You know.
I'll tell you a really terrible band called South County Messenger Service. They were a Rhode Island band and they did a version of Skulls that was pretty awful.
I think I saw them a couple times.
Yeah. I may have, been in that band. So I speak from experience that to make a Misfits cover song unique and good is it's that's a balancing act.
I mean, you could argue. I mean, we like it, punk roots and all that kind of stuff, and the shock kind of the origin of the shock rock and all that kind of stuff. But not all orange. I mean, obviously, Alice Cooper was obviously out there and Kiss and stuff. But then it's not the best. It's obviously not the best music. I mean, we love it. I think it's more of a sentimental thing.
For me. I think I don't know.
Knowing your roots a little, you know.
Yeah,
it's kind of what it feels like to me.
Okay. Well, I have a long time to wait for the song Skulls. You know, it's on the B side, so it'll be a little later in the session before we get to it. Until then, I'm going to try to maybe build up the energy to either dig out the recording and play it.
Yeah, we should.
Or see if it. Maybe we'll get Chris to come in and we'll talk about it together.
You're stealing my thunder a little. I was going to try to sneak it in.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, not tell you. Like, that here's my cover song.
I pre-apologize for like 5 weeks from now when we finally get to Skulls. But anyway, this is my winner. It's the Turbosonics. It's Zombie a Go Go. It's a surf rock version. I don't think it's anything that you haven't heard before, but here you go. And I don't even know if it's Nike a Go Go. I'm just.
And with that.
It was really hard to find covers for this, man. It was really hard. So, yeah, so have a wonderful day.
Have a good day, night, life.
I don't think we signed off the last episode. I think we just walked away from it. again, cutxcut@gmail.com.
If you've made it this far in the podcast, thank you so much.
I really appreciate your time and effort.
I do. That's my wife telling me that people need to know they're appreciated. And you, faceless radio listener. Are appreciated.
You don't understand. These kids' real teachers are these satanic musical things they watch on TV.
Please, don't refer to Satan in my presence.